Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From WNYC Studios, this is Money Talking at Work. And today, the value of a good question.
For leaders today, you have to be asking questions. It's sort of the new style of leadership.
This is Warren Berger, and I'll let him explain what he does.
I'm an author and a journalist, and my most recent book is A More Beautiful Question, which is all about questioning, so I consider myself a questionologist now.
A questionologist? Wait, what? Does anybody ever question that title?
Yeah, people question it all the time. They ask, is that a real thing? And my answer is, not really.
But they get it when you say it.
Yeah, it's really about spending a lot of time studying good questions, bad questions, how we ask questions, how we formulate questions, that kind of thing.
Because from his research, Berger has found that for companies to succeed and grow, it's all about asking the right question.
In the business world, oftentimes if you can, you know, from an entrepreneurial standpoint, if you can find the right question, it can be worth, you know, millions of dollars, because it can be the thing that focuses your efforts on the breakthrough or the innovation. But even for established companies, it's really, really important, probably more important than ever now. A number of, you know, 100-year-old companies have been talking to me about this, calling me in about this, because they see everything changing all around them in their industry, and they need to figure out how to be comfortable with uncertainty and ask questions like, are we really doing the right thing? Or why are we doing this the way we've been doing it the past 50 years? Does it really make sense?
That doesn't mean this is easy, because for a lot of people, success comes from having the answers, not asking questions. If you've been promoted and now you're in charge, you might feel like you're supposed to keep having those answers. But perhaps you'll be a better leader if you keep asking questions. There's a certain power to a good question. You just have to make sure that you ask it in the right way.
If you ask questions the right way, what you can do is get people to think about their own assumptions or behaviors in a positive way. But the problem is, if you ask questions in the wrong way, it can have a very different effect. In a weird way, questioning can be extremely confrontational if it's not done right.
So Berger wrote about finding this balance between question and confrontation in an article for the Harvard Business Review called Five Common Questions Leaders Should Never Ask. And before I get to those, here's his basic principle.
Try to make sure your questions are rooted in actual curiosity. So, you know, to me, that is what determines a genuine or authentic question is, do you really care about the answer? Are you really interested in the answer to that question? And questions that are rooted in curiosity usually don't cause problems. In fact, most of us are flattered when someone is curious about what we're doing or why we're doing it. They like to tell us. They like to share that. But it can very easily be the case that questioning comes off as veiled criticism. So just by, you know, asking, you know, why did you do it that way in a certain tone, it sounds as if you are criticizing the person, whereas if you were to ask, you know, gee, I'm curious about why you take that approach, that has a whole different effect on people.
As I heard Berger say this, the first thing I thought about was email, and yet another reason why it is so awful. Not just because it never stops and it makes you, well, at least me, feel like you can never catch up, but there's no tone in it. It's so easy to misinterpret an email because you aren't actually talking to the person. It's just another reason to ignore it. But I diverge. Okay, without further delay, the five questions not to ask at work. Number one, the first question that you say bosses should not ask is, what's the problem? So what is the problem with that question?
The problem with that question is that it focuses everyone on the negative. And the problem with that is that it immediately puts people into a very defensive position where they feel like, you know, they're going to have to explain themselves or defend what they're doing. And it's not very conducive to a positive session or positive meeting. So, you know, what I find is, if you follow the principles of appreciative inquiry, you know, you really should try to build your questions around something positive, a strength. So instead of talking about the, what is this problem and why is it happening, you should be talking about, okay, what are we doing well and how could we apply that to this area where maybe we're not doing as well?
But isn't there a danger that you are avoiding talking about a problem, something that maybe is happening in a company or with a team that needs to be addressed?
Yeah, I don't think you want to avoid it, you know, because obviously it has to be addressed. It's all about the way that you phrase the question, the kind of language you use to say, for example, hey, we know there's a problem, but we also know we're doing some things really well. You know, now how can we build on those strengths we have to address this area where maybe we're not doing as well?
Number two, don't ask who's at fault.
Yeah, and I know it's very tempting, you know, to do that, but because we all want to identify, you know, the source of the problem. The trouble with that is usually there's a lot of blame to go around, and we don't necessarily need to pin it on one person. And again, it brings a whole kind of negative vibe into questioning. Again, it's sort of questioning as a way of attacking, which I think, you know, generally should be avoided in the business world. So I would say in that case, again, you just want to try to figure out if there's a way that you can, you know, sort of phrase that question so that it's less about scapegoating and more about saying, you know, we've identified this weakness. How can we work together to shore up this problem or address this weakness?
But we do know that sometimes people make a mistake and that sometimes someone is at fault. So are we just avoiding being direct and really addressing an issue head on if we sort of say, well, how do we improve on this weakness that we have?
Yeah, I don't think we need to avoid that altogether. I think there are ways to do both. There are ways to, you know, let the person who does have a problem know that there's a problem, without necessarily putting it in direct terms of, you know, who screwed up here. You know, I think you can say, look, we're seeing there are some issues here. You know, how can we help you to address these issues?
Okay, now number three, avoid the question, why don't you do it this way? And that suggestion can come across as more like a direct order. But what if it really is just a suggestion?
Well, there are times you can do that, and that's okay. I mean, if you feel, you know, you may be pressed for time, it may be the fact that there's really only one way to do it, and you know what the way is, and the other person needs to find out real fast. And in that instance, it might be okay to do that. The problem is when leaders do this a lot, when they're often, you know, talking to their people in this way, what it's doing is it's not giving their people freedom to explore their own ways of doing things. So it becomes kind of a dictatorial situation. And that's where that question can get kind of dangerous. So I don't say you never want to be, you can never use that question, but I would say be careful about it. Because if you're always suggesting to people that you want them to do it your way, you really are inhibiting the growth of those people, and you're not going to get the most out of their creativity.
I got it. Now, number four, you shouldn't tell somebody, we've tried this already, that is a bad question and it comes across as a bit defeatist. But, you know, what happens if you have a new employee that comes in or someone who's just starting off in the industry and they say, hey, let's do it this way, and you have a lot of experience to say, we've done it like that before and it didn't work. Why is that a bad question? Why is that a bad way to approach a situation?
Well, it's a bad question because it gets overused in the business world. If you go into almost any meeting, when someone suggests an idea, invariably you will hear someone say, haven't we tried this already? In that kind of impatient tone. And the problem with that is if you get caught up in that kind of mentality, you pretty much stop trying new things. And the reason why it's sometimes wrong is because you may have tried something in the past. You may have even tried it repeatedly in the past, but it doesn't mean it's not going to work sometime later on. Or it might not. It might work now because the conditions are different now than they were when you tried it before. It's also possible you could try something now and do it in a different way than you did before. So I think what you have to avoid is these kind of blanket thinking that says, you know, oh, gee, we've tried everything before. You know, we know what works and what doesn't work. And, you know, when you do that, you really can put a damper on people suggesting new ideas. Now, what I would say is, you know, the better question to ask is, okay, we have tried this in the past. If we tried it now, what would be different? How might we get different results than what we've gotten in the past?
And finally, the fifth question you shouldn't ask at work, what's our iPad? That's even hard to say.
Yeah, that was a question that was shared with me by a consultant who works with a lot of companies in the tech field. There are different versions of that question depending on what industry you're in. But he found that whenever Apple or someone would come out with a great product, the leaders of other companies would panic and say to their employees, or ask them, where's our version of this great product? Why haven't you guys thought of an iPad? You know, how are we going to imitate that? And the reason it's a bad question is because it suggests to people that you're really just in the business of imitating another company, you know, and you really don't want to put that idea out there. The better questions to ask in that situation, if you see a competitor having really great success with a product, is why exactly is our competitor having such success with this product, and what can we learn from that? Could we adapt some of these ideas to our strengths? So the idea is, you know, you move it away from just imitating what your competitor is doing and saying, you know, where's our version of the iPad?
So to summarize, it's about framing questions in a positive, forward-looking way to get people thinking versus looking backwards and examining everything that went wrong and figuring out who's to blame. And I get that, but I had to ask, isn't this all just kind of dancing around the issue and not being direct?
I can understand why some managers might feel, hey, that's not my style. I just tell it like it is. But I do think, you know, you don't have to think of it as dishonest when you soften a question or when you make it more positive. You're not being dishonest. You're not necessarily dancing around the issue. You're simply trying to articulate an issue in a way that people are a little more comfortable with.
Warren, thank you very much.
Thank you. I enjoyed doing it.
Warren Berger is a journalist and author of A More Beautiful Question. And I have to say, as a journalist, I guess I'm lucky because it feels like all I do is ask questions. But I do worry about whether or not I'm asking the right ones or smart ones or ones that will get people thinking without making them feel like I'm criticizing them. Did this get you thinking more about how you talk to your coworkers? Let me know. You can find me on Twitter at Charlie Herman or the show at Money Talking. Or you can send us an email. The address is moneytalking@wnyc.org. And since we're on the topic of questions, let me ask you one. Can you give us a review while you're there? When you do that, more people will see the show and maybe listen. And hey, if the result is a more civilized workplace, who doesn't want that? Money Talking is a production of WNYC Studios. The production team includes Jenna Cagle and Seth Kelly. Bill Moss is our amazing engineer. Special thanks, as always, to Amy Poftek at the Harvard Business Review. I'm Charlie Herman. Thanks for listening.